The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. No readings from Aurelius. When I started this podcast, I kind of braced myself for a backlash. I expected some people to say, or object and say, how dare you make a podcast that mixes Torah with Stoicism and these Greek and Roman philosophers? Now, why did I assume that? Because I have received such objections as a high school teacher. In fact, the very first time I received an objection was on May 5th, 2011. And I know this because I saved the email. A parent objected to my use of secular sources in my Torah classes, and his argument was, or here were his words. He says, "I believe in the perfection of Torah, and as such, I don't see the need of secular sources to explain religious concepts, especially when the same or similar result can be achieved through Torah." So that was the first time I ever was questioned as a teacher about my use of secular sources. And I wrote a response to him, and I actually made that into an article for my blog, which I'll link in the show notes below. But today I wanted to go over, I wanted to make a similar defense of my podcast here. And I wanted to give five reasons for why I feel confident and justified in making this podcast about the relationship between Stoicism and Judaism. So first reason is a very simple one, is as it says in Pirkei Avos, Ezehu Chacham Halomen Mikol Adam, who is wise, one who learns from everyone. I have seen value in the teachings of the Stoics. Again, not everything. The whole concept of this podcast is to explore what is valuable and in line with Torah and what is not. But I've seen Chachma there, and I learned it, and I want to share it. So that's reason number one. Reason number two, which is very connected to reason number one, there's a midrash in Eicha Rabbah on the pasuk in Eicha 2:9, which says, "Malka v'sareha bagoyim in Torah. Her kings and her officers are among the nations. There is no Torah." So the midrash says, "Im yomar lecha adam yesh chachma bagoyim ta'amin. If a person says to you, there is wisdom among the nations, believe him. As it is written, I will eradicate wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountain of Esav," which implies, that's from Ovadia 1:8, that obviously implies that there is wisdom in Edom, which coincidentally is what we call Rome, right, nowadays. And then Midrash goes on, "Yish Torah bagoyim al tamin." But if a person says to you that there is Torah among the nations, then you should not believe him. "Dichsiv malkah v'sareha bagoyim ein Torah." As it is written in Eicha 2:9, her kings and officers are among the nations. There is no Torah. Okay, so you know, you can, there's a one could give a whole shiur on this. Okay, about what the difference exactly is between Chachma and Torah, but plain pshat is that there is no Torah in the goyim. There is no regimen that brings people to true perfection, which is in any way comparable to the one given by Hashem. And therefore, if you were to somehow, seek an equivalent to Torah or seek an authoritative approach to Torah in the goyim, then you're not going to find it. But if you look for chachma in the goyim, then there's chachma in the goyim. I mean, you know, there's a bracha we say when we see a chacham among the goyim. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shenasan Mechachmaso LeBasar VeDam. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the Universe, who has given from His wisdom to flesh and blood. So, and look, we can talk about what exactly qualifies as a chacham among the goyim, and whether, you know, philosophy would be included in that, or whether that's just talking about the natural sciences. But plain pshat, or at least according to my understanding, then there is chachma among the nations, and if that chachma is there, then we should learn from it because it comes from Hashem. Reason number three, and this is actually what I believe I wrote in my response to that parent. So I'm going to make recourse here to the allegory of the cave, which can be found in Plato's The Republic in Book 7. I'm not going to go through the whole allegory, but there's one element of allegory that I think is relevant here. So for those who are not familiar, the basic allegory involves a person who is been raised in this dark cave among the shadows, and he's liberated and taken out of the cave into the world of the light. And light in the metaphor represents knowledge. Okay, so that's all you need to know for the purposes of what I'm going to quote here. So in Allegory of the Cave, it says as follows. And if he is compelled, if this is a prisoner, is compelled to look straight at the light, will he not have a pain in his eyes which will make him turn away and take in the objects of his vision which he can see and which he will conceive to be in reality clearer than the things which are now being shown to him? And suppose once more that he is reluctantly dragged up a steep and rugged ascent and held fast until he is forced into the presence of the sun itself. Is he not likely to be pained and irritated? When he approaches the light, his eyes will be dazzled, and he will not be able to see anything at all of what are now called realities. He will require to grow accustomed to the sight of the upper world. And first he will see the shadows best, next the reflections of men and other objects in the water, and then see the objects themselves. Then he will gaze upon the light of the moon and the stars and the spangled sky, and he will see the sky and the stars by night better than the sun or the light of the sun by day. Last, he will be able to see the sun and not mere reflections of it in the water, but he will see it in its own proper place and not in another, and he will contemplate it as it is. Again, this is a whole, the allegory is very rich. But the main point of the allegory here is that when you are raised in the world of the shadows and in the darkness of the cave, then you can't just immediately look straight at the light because it would blind you, you know. So too in the realm of knowledge, if you've been raised among the world of the shadows, in the world of superficial thinking and imagination and fantasies and fears and emotional, you know, an emotionally tainted way of viewing things. So then you are not going to be able to immediately transition into the world of reality and the world of knowledge. First, you're going to have to see, you're going to have to look at the shadows in the real world and then the reflections of the truth in the water. And then finally be able to like look at the objects that are illuminated by the light and look at the light itself. So what I've found is that many times there will be a concept that is fully, you know, explained and expressed in Torah. But since we are all raised in the world of the shadows, sometimes it is easier for us to see a Torah concept reflected in a non-Torah source and then get to know that idea through the non-Torah source. And that will unlock the ability to learn from the Torah itself. You know, for example, you know, sometimes you'll see an idea that is expressed expressed very well in literature or in a movie, or a quote from a secular thinker, and that will unlock your understanding of the Torah itself. And so I found that I've had a lot of experience like this with the Stoics, and you know, certain ideas I've encountered first in their works and then noticed them in Torah, and that has helped me tremendously. So that was the third reason. The fourth reason is another midrash. This one's in Avodah Zarah. I mean, it's several places. Avodah Zarah Yud Tes Amud Aleph in Talmud Bavli. Drasha on the pasuk in Tehillim 1:2, which says Ki im b'Torah Hashem chefzo, that only in the Torah of Hashem is his desire. Amar Rav, ein adam lomi Torah, ela mimachum shalibo chafetz. Rav said a person should only learn Torah from the place his heart desires. And the Gemara goes on there to say that you should learn what you're interested in. Now, again, can't just take a midrash and run with it and assume that dictates everything. But the main idea we get out of there is that there is an advantage to learning in an area that you're naturally interested in. You know, your learning is going to be more productive there. Like I've said, I've been reading the works of the Stoics for a very long time, and I've gained a lot from it, and my mind is attracted to that way of thinking and that way of living, and so that's another reason why I have been focused on learning their works. And then the fifth and final reason for today, at least, is a person could object and say, well, okay, fine. This is the best way that you learn, but why are you making a public podcast about this? And so here I'm going to quote from one of the Stoics, from Seneca's letter number 6 to Lucilius. So he tells his student and friend, he says, I am glad to learn in order that I may teach. Nothing will ever please me, no matter how excellent or beneficial, if I must retain the knowledge of it to myself. And if wisdom were given me under the express condition that it must be kept hidden and not uttered, I should refuse it. No good thing is pleasant to possess without friends to share it. So that's how I feel about Stoicism as well, is that a lot of people just aren't aware of the chokhmah and the benefit of these ideas. And if I have the capacity to share it, then nothing gives me greater pleasure than to do so. And look, it helps my own learning as well. We all know that all teachers know that when you teach something, you understand it better and you shore up your mistakes and your deficiencies than when you just learn on your own. So that's why I'm teaching this. Okay, if you feel you've gained from what you've learned here and would like to contribute to my ability to produce more Torah content, then please consider making a donation to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. The link is in the description. Thank you to all my listeners for listening, and thank you to all my patrons for contributing. Have a good day.